I want to speak very briefly tonight about a subject that I'm really good at. There's lots of things in the Bible that I'm not good at, but this subject I want to talk to you tonight, I am really, really, really good at. In fact, if they could give you qualifications in this subject tonight, I'd be MA standard. I want to talk to you tonight about trouble. I have been it, I have caused it, I have been the recipient of it, I have observed it, but trouble. And I want to look very briefly at this subject of trouble and some of the things Jesus said about trouble. And then I'm going to finish and we're going to have a few baptisms. And then when the baptisms are over, I want to get up and I want just 5 minutes of your time. You see, if you're here tonight and you don't usually come to church and this is all really weird and why are these people happy and you're kind of not sure where you are, you're my kind of person. Why? Because I was where you were. I thought everybody that was a Christian was a weirdo too. And now I lead a church. So this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14. And I want you to go on a journey with me. This is what Jesus said. And trouble is, it often gets only mentioned at funerals. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, reading verse 1 to 3. It should appear on the screen. Aha, good lad. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." I just want to hang it on that scripture. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, when we read that passage, and that's the kind of passage we put on our fridge magnets, if you're a Christian, and you get on a bumper sticker if you live in America, do not let your hearts be troubled. It's easy to say, but you've got to know who Jesus was saying it to and what they were facing at that moment in time. Because if everything's all right in your life, people saying to you, "Oh, don't let your heart be troubled," it's no big shakes. But when all hell is breaking out in your life, it's a whole different thing when somebody says to you, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." So that's John 14. So ask the question, who did Jesus say this to? Well, he clearly said it to his followers. And what condition were they in? Well, to find out what condition John 14 is, you've got to look in John 13. In John 13, and I'll give you the text to read out, Peter argues with Jesus over foot washing and they have a row, verse 8. Jesus says that one of them will betray him, verse 21. Jesus confronts Judas during communion, verse 28. Satan enters Judas, verse 27. Jesus tells Peter he will betray him three times, verse 38. And Jesus says, by the way, he's going, verse 33. Have you ever had a bad day? This was not the disciples sat at the side of the river with the birds in the trees and they're all having, you know, nice food and the stream's going by and life is tranquil. This is in a moment of pandemonium, all hell's breaking loose, people looking at each other going, what on earth is happening? Jesus is going, Satan's entered Judas, he's told me I'm going to betray him three times, he's told me his body's going to be broken. What the flipping heck is happening? I don't know about you, but when you look around the kind of world we live in, there's trouble. Every time you put on the news, what is it? It's trouble. Somewhere in the world tonight, there's trouble. And there's a difference between the trouble of a nation and the trouble of a famine and the trouble of so many different things. But let me tell you what, there's trouble in people's hearts. As a pastor, I see every day the trouble that people carry. I see the trouble that people have in their minds. I daily deal with people with mental health issues based on extreme to quite mild. But there's trouble in this world. There's trouble in people's lives. And what does Jesus have to say about it? Well, the thing is about what Jesus says about trouble is this. Jesus doesn't say it doesn't exist, just follow me and you'll never have trouble. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus actually said this, and we'll come to this a little later. In this world, you will have trouble, comma. But be of good courage, for I have overcome this world. The Bible does not say, you will overcome the world. It says, he will overcome the world. And you only overcome the world, not by your ability, but by you sticking with Jesus in his ability to overcome the world. You cannot overcome this world by yourself. This world will swallow you up and spit you out. It will cause trouble in your world to stifle you and rob you. And Jesus, in another passage in Mark's gospel, don't turn to it, it should appear on the screen. He tells a parable about seeds and a parable about weeds. And he says this in Mark 4. He was telling about seed. He says this: still others, like seed sown amongst thorn, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in, choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is my thought tonight, is trouble makes people unfruitful. That if I was the devil, and I'm not because I'm from Bolton, and we all know the devil comes from Manchester. And I couldn't stop people becoming Christians. You know what I would do? I would fill their life with so much trouble that they become unfruitful. And that's what Jesus says here. He says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in, making people's lives unfruitful. You and me can be unfruitful if we carry trouble. Now, it's impossible to get through this life without dealing with trouble. But Jesus said, and we just read it, do not let. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, for it Jesus to say, do not let, we have the ability to let stuff trouble us, and we have the ability to not let things trouble us. You can watch the news, the 10 o'clock news tonight. You won't be home because I'm preaching till 11:30. You can watch the 10 o'clock news tonight, and I'll tell you what a lot of people do. They watch the 10 o'clock news. It's bad, 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 bad. And then at the end, they always throw a kind of story in so you don't go to bed all depressed. There was a cat up a tree and a fireman got the cat down. But you've just seen AIDS in Africa, famine, riots, killing, murders, dead bodies. But don't worry, the fireman rescued a cat up a tree. We can all go to bed happy. No, this world's messed up. And if evolution were true, I wish we could get on with it. Because if evolution says we're getting better, let's just get on with it. Because it just seems to me we're getting more toys, but we're not getting less trouble. Yeah. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. We used to have a dog. He died last year. He never looked stressed, my dog. He just sat on my knee. He never came in the morning and went, I don't know where my food's coming from. I just don't know. And we're not going to find a woman. I just don't know where. I feel I'm left on the shelf and I'm not meeting anybody. My social life, I only meet the cat next door and that's not working. My dog just walked through the world like he owned it. Not a day. But we have the ability to just store up trouble and worry and fear. You see, let me say this to you, and it sounds glib, but let me unpack it. Trouble is compulsory. Misery is optional. A couple of years ago, I went to buy my daughter a car. When I said buy, she was paying. I was just kicking the tires. And so we went to this garage, and she wanted a new car, and she was driving quite a long way to work, so I wanted to make sure she had a good car. And the salesman, car salesman, don't you love them? Any car salesman in tonight? Good. And they said, this is the basic model. And it was a few thousand pounds or whatever. And then you can have add-ons. Now, when you're, I think she was 22 then, when you're a 22-year-old trendy girl who's training to be a solicitor, you like the add-ons. The nice wheels and all the inside and the go faster stripes on the side and somewhere to put your coffee cup. Is that compulsory? In other words, you got the basic model, but you had to pay for the additional extras. In this world, trouble comes compulsory. Yeah. But often the extras that trouble brings are optional. We don't have to live with some of the things that trouble brings to our world. You see, you may get trouble, but you don't have to live with the fallout of what that trouble. Because often that's relational stuff that you need to deal with. And maybe it's health issues that you need to deal with. And maybe it's all kinds of different things. So trouble is compulsory, but misery is optional. John 16 says this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And when you look today, there's trouble in jobs. If I made an appeal tonight, those that are struggling with jobs, isn't it amazing? We pray for jobs and then we get jobs and the jobs bring trouble. Half the church I lead in Bolton is single and want to be married. The other half are married and want to be single. People complain because they have no money, and then people get money, and it causes hassle in their world. It's like whatever happens, every stage of life, there's family issues and family worries and you know, health. I remember praying only a few years ago for a lady. She came to the front of our church. And I said, what's the matter, darling? She said, oh, my legs are gone and my hips are gone and everything's gone. I thought, you're in a bad way, love, aren't you? I said, listen, I am going to pray right now, believing God that Jesus is going to heal you. She went, do you think he could do that? I said, yeah, let's do it. And we were just going to pray. She went, oh, hold on a minute. If he heals me, will he have to give me blue badge back? So I'm like, too much information now, love. Let's just pray. Stay with that. And basically, as I was praying for her, I felt her hand go less and less as she was holding mine, because it was almost like she's thinking, Jesus, please heal me, but I want to keep my blue badge. In other words, I want to be healed, but I want to be sick, because I've made my life based around the convenience of being sick. Now, that's not true of everybody. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there's trouble whether you're healthy, trouble whether you're sick. There's so much trouble. And Christianity is not that Jesus takes away all your troubles. There's a few songs, but that you won't find that in Scripture. So tonight, Jesus is not going to take all your troubles away. I wish he would, but he doesn't. He just lifts you above them, gives you the ability to manage them, and gives you the grace to go through stuff. So for me, Jesus, has he taken all my troubles? Let me tell you this, Jesus has caused a few of mine. Well, the thing is, it's not about God trying to get you out of this world. He's trying to get you fruitful in this world. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, we'll come to you in a few moments. Trouble can be managed. You see, immature people always want everything perfect. Mature people realize that this may not get any better, we'll have to manage it. Immaturity always wants, you know, everything neat, everything defined, everything black or white. Maturity can cope with a few loose edges. Maturity can cope with sometimes not being as good as you want to be. I did a race yesterday, a few years ago. I was quite a lot heavier than I am now. And I did a race, a 7-mile cross-country race yesterday. And I came 32nd in my age range, the 50-plus age range. Quite proud of that. And I was a bit more proud than your face anyway. And we did about 3 or 4 miles and we came to this stream. It wasn't like running on a golf course where you didn't get your feet muddy. It was like that deep in mud. And we came to this stream. And all these fit, athletic, 22-year-old lads are like running through it. And I thought, I'm 52. I don't like water. And it was quite wide and everything. And they had a camera set up watching everybody. And I'm thinking, that joker wants me to fall and he gets 250 quid off you being framed. I know how this works like. So I'm doing this run. And have you ever tried to look really cool when you're actually dying? When you're actually sweating, the sweat's in my eyes, it's stinging. I'm absolutely covered in mud from all the runners in front of me, that the mud's come off the back of their trainers. And now I've got to run through a river. So I tried to do it really cool. I tried to do it really cool because there was also a lot of women watching. And I had a Bolton vest on. So they're watching, come on, Bolton. And it was bad. I ran across the river, or through the river, and when I went to get up the other side, I tripped and fell flat in the mud. Now, I tried to make it look like I knew what I was doing. I do this all the time. I dived. So I got up, and I'm covered in mud, and I tried to run on covered in mud, but everybody else was laughing their heads off at the 50-odd-year-old bloke from Bolton that fell in the mud. You see, life is not perfect, and you've got to learn sometimes. You've got to run covered in mud. You've got to live life when life isn't perfect, when not everything's brilliant and not everything's as you would want it. You've got to understand that mature people can cope with a bit of hassle, and mature people can cope with a few frayed edges. When I was watching the Olympics a few years ago, you know, when you watch the Olympics, you watch all kind of weird sports, don't you, that you don't usually watch. And it was one Wednesday afternoon, and I was watching two sports that I've never watched before. One was, I think they call it dressage, which for me looks like camp horses. And they're doing, asking horses to do really silly things, and the horses shouldn't be doing. And I'm watching it thinking, oh, that's really interesting. That's a sport, is it? Okay. And then the next one was a sport that they would bring it into the Olympics as a trial called taekwondo. And it was guys who all dressed in white, looked like judo, and they were kicking each other's heads in. If you did it in the street, it'd be called GBH. But you do it in a gym, and we pay you from the national lottery because you're an athlete, and we allow you to do it, and we give you medals for it. But you do it in the street, you get arrested, do it in the gym, you get a medal. So I'm watching this taekwondo, and what they were saying is this: taekwondo is not really about the offence. It's about your ability to block. So when somebody kicks you, you block it with your legs. And I was watching as this guy blocked all these shots coming to them. You know, a skillful person. And what Jesus wants to help you do is this: not though they'll never come your way, because the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say no weapon will be formed against you. He said it just won't prosper. Because when you're a Christian, you have the ability to handle trouble in life. Why? Because you can do taekwondo. And you can block criticism and say, I'm not taking that into my heart. And you can block discouragement and say, no, I'm not doing that. I can turn the 10 o'clock news off before the cat up the tree at the end and say, Jesus, I am not going to bed worried. And I'm not going to bed fearful that Donald Trump's got his finger on the button with North Korea and all that stuff. Why? Because I didn't give my life to Donald Trump. I'm just back from the States. Listen, I didn't give my life to Donald Trump. I was in New York a few months ago, and I was outside Trump Tower, and there's a whole bunch of people shouting at this building. So I went up to them, because I'm up for a debate with anybody. I said, Are you what are you doing? They said, hey, we're getting against Donald. We're against his policies. Hey. I said, he don't live there. I said, I know he's got his name on. In Bolton, there's a WH Smiths, but it's no Dewey Me. Yeah, but we're against his policies. I said, you are shouting at a building he hasn't been to for 2 years. It looks ridiculous. And in our world, we're trying to... all this pressure, all this trouble, all this fear. Where's Jesus? He's teaching taekwondo. That in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. It's not an injection that you never get any trouble. It's now you've got a new skill to deal with trouble. You've got prayer. You can have courage. You can believe God. Trouble, finally, is good training. Trouble is good training. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He said this in chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 of 2 Corinthians. He said this: Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Do you know the last book in the Old Testament is a book called Malachi, and the first book in the New Testament is not Matthew. For those Bible scholars, you know, it was not Matthew. It's not the first book in the New Testament. The first book in the New Testament is the book of James, chronologically written. So after God seeing nothing from the end of Malachi and around 400 years to the opening verses of James, after God seeing nothing to humanity for 400 years and God starts to speak, you'd think the first thing he'd say would be pretty important. Well, you know what it says this? James chapter 1 verse 1. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, the truth is for a Christian is this: trouble doesn't have to kill you. And trouble doesn't have to make you fearful. And trouble doesn't have to make you unfruitful. It's important that we get this because in this world, there's going to be a lot of trouble. So here's what I'm thinking. What's the worst trouble I've ever been in? I've been in trouble with the police in my younger days for a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I've been in the trouble with my wife frequently. She's here with me tonight. I brought her because some of you don't think I'm married. And I've been married for 27 years, three different women. But hey, no, I'm joking. One woman, 27 years. What's the biggest trouble you can ever get yourself into? I remember I went to college. I think they call it Myer School now. The Lancashire College of Agriculture and Horticulture. They had a Hutton Centre when I went in the 80s. And I lived at the Hutton Centre. I was on the horticulture course, NCH Horticulture. And I went as a 17-year-old, and I was a bit of a lad. And I was with all these nice people who lived in for nice parts of Cheshire and nice parts of the Lake District. And I'm from Bolton, Dobble in Bolton. And we went to college, and so I just thought it was like a party that you got paid to do. That's what your student grant is, right? It's party. Party funding. And so I got to college and thought, right, let's have it. We're having it. So we just added all. I got in so much trouble. I remember the head who's, he's not there anymore. And I think he's actually died. He was called Mr. Peregrine. And I got summoned to his office and I had to go all the way across Preston to the Myer School Centre. And I had to wait, brought me into his office. He said, "Are you Derek Smith?" I said, "No comment." No, I didn't say no comment. I wanted to. That was my background. No comment. And so I said, yes. He said, "Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to answer truthfully. Do you know who Tony Broome is?" I said, "Yeah. He's on our corridor." He said, "Did you, on the night of Thursday, blah, 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 forcefully enter his room when he was out?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Peregrine." He said, "Did you take all his furniture and assemble it in the middle of a cow field?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Peregrine." "Did you take up his carpet and put it in the cow field?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Peregrine." He said, "Did you turf his bedroom floor?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Peregrine." And this was the final one, and this is absolutely true. "Did you take two sheep from the farm and put them in his bedroom?" I said, "Yes, yes, Mr. Peregrine." He said, "Smith, we are reviewing your position in this college, Gormwet outside." And it was only one of the mentors on the course that I was doing that got me to stay on. But I thought, you know, I've made some right trouble. There's a few other troubles. I actually got arrested or I got ejected from Preston North End football ground in the 80s for climbing a fence to get away from the trouble, and I got caught. I've been in all kinds of skirmishes before I became a Christian. But let me tell you about the worst trouble I think you can ever find yourself in. And it's something that we're all going to face. You see, you may not get to stand in front of Mr. Peregrine and for what you did or didn't do with the sheep in the college. I don't get to answer for the trouble you've caused. And I know we could all have stories in here. Because even though a lot of you look like nice Christians, you've got stories too. But one day the Bible says, we're all going to die. You know, Ladbrokes will take odds on there being life on Venus. They will take odds on Elvis being alive. But they'll not take odds on you dying. Because it's a certainty. It's happening. It's just a matter of when. Now, aren't you encouraged tonight? You came out on a beautiful November evening to be told you're going to die. It's a certainty. However, what we believe will decide what we think. This is what my take on it as a Christian. And I've only believed this since I was 19 years of age and I gave my life to Christ. Is this. That when we're dead, when we pop our clogs, when we go cold and our heart stops beating, something leaves us, though our body stays. I've seen in the course of my work a lot of dead bodies that I've been with families when people have died. And the more dead bodies I see, the more convinced I am that when it goes cold, something's gone. Because your life is more than that. That piece of something that's there on the bed. This is what my take of what the Bible says is. That one day, after our death, we're going to meet God. And he's going to ask us a question. Now, I don't know about you, right, but I'd be thinking, oh, golly, what question is he going to ask? Is it going to be a hard one? Is it going to be like, he wants to be a millionaire and it's the million-dollar question? What's it going to be? Can I ask a friend? Can I go 50-50? Can I, you know, do something to somebody to help me? But I think I know what the question is going to be. I think I know the only question that God is going to ask us. I think I know it. And it's just too good. I need to tell you what I think it is. Because after 33 years of being a Christian, I think I know what it is. I think it's going to be this. God is going to ask us one. He's not going to ask us, were you nice? Because anybody can be nice. Did you do Meals on Wheels? Meals on Wheels are a good thing to do. Did you help old people? That's a great thing to do. But you know, I don't think God's going to ask us that. I think he's going to ask us one question. And this is the question. What did you do with my son? I think that's it. And the worst trouble I can think of in life is standing before God when he asks me that question and not having an answer. Because every trouble this side of heaven, we can get you out of. But the trouble that comes depending on that answer is eternal. What have you done with my son? December the 18th, 1984, I was a 19-year-old. Long hair, blonde hair. I looked her right, Wally. Black boots up to my knees. Ear pierced. I thought it was cool. Went to church. Sat in the back row because cool people don't sit near the front, as you can see. And sat in the back row. Too cool for school. Thinking, I'm not one of these God botherers. What are they doing all this? Well, if you can't see it, it's not real, right? What is this? Oh, really weird. I watched them in the worship and they started jigging. What's all that? And there was a guy in the front with a guitar and I'm thinking, who does he think he is? It was a foreign thing to me. I'm thinking, I thought church was old people, big Bibles, bad breath, a beard, a vicar, a priest, an old building, I thought kind of that was it, something that you did hatch, match and dispatch, where you get christened, you get married and you get buried. I didn't know there was any. And then I'm sat on the back row of this church, right back where some of you are sat, and I'm observing, and I'm trying to learn the art of trying to listen but not look like I'm listening, like some of you are doing now. So I'm listening, but I'm trying to look cool. So I'm, you know, I would have been checking my phone, but believe it or not, for all those under 30, we didn't have mobile phones in the 80s. Well, not ones that you could afford anyway. So it's 1984, just before Christmas. I'm thinking, I've got my tickets for the nightclub, New Year's Eve, got my tickets for Christmas Eve, and I'm sat in this back row, and this really untrendy church. Dave, it was bad. It was bad. And I'm sat in the back row, and a guy got up to preach. And I thought, oh, golly, how long's he going to be? A bit like some of you are thinking right now. How long's he going to be? Oh, golly, we've got to get... Pubs are open. Come on. Come on. And for the next 25 minutes, he talked about Jesus. And inside me, it was like there was war. Half of me was saying, you need this. Listen, you're thick. And the other half of me saying, are you for real? I'm too cool for this. These are all nutters. These are people that need a crutch to get through life. What do I need a crutch to get through? It was, I'm like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, you know, the good one and the bad one. And I sat on the back row of the church, or the community centre. It wasn't even a church. Well, this war went on in me. There was trouble in me. It was like there was a war on the inside and nobody could see. Let me tell you, there's a war in some here people in here tonight. Nobody can see it on the outside, but I know that you're facing it on the inside. And I don't know who you are. I don't know 95% of people in this room, but I know human nature. And there's a war right now. There's trouble right now. Because Jesus came to bring trouble to the average, and trouble in order to see you set free. And I sat there that night, and at the end of the message, he said this: if you want to know Jesus Christ, put your hand up. And I was schizophrenic. I was like... waving at him, looking in the back. But I just didn't have the courage. Because I'm thinking, what will people think? What will they say? What will my mates say at the pub after? What am I can't be a Christian. Stuff I've done. I can't be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. You have to be good, and you have to go to church, and you have to buy a brown suit. I can't be a Christian. And you can't do things that 19-year-old boys want to do regularly. I don't want to be a Christian, and I've got all this stuff going on in me. And at the end of the meeting, this is what I did, and I hope this isn't feedback, but this is what happened. We had coffee time. Do you know in Christian churches, coffee after, it's compulsory? It's the law. You're not going anywhere after this. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. All the exits are locked. You've got to have coffee. You know why? Because we've drugged it. Look into my eyes. Not around my hand. Look into my eye. So I came up from the back, and I wanted to talk to him. But I didn't know what to say, because I'd never talked to anybody who was religious. So the guy was at the front, and I'm at the back. So I'm kind of walking up and looking like I'm... like I'm dancing, like Strictly, doesn't it? And I got to the front. Got to the front of the church. I thought, oh, he's a big dude, isn't he? 6'5" he was. I met a guy this morning who was 6'5". Who was it? One? Who? Is it Jim? Alex. Who, is he in? He in Alex? He's in kids' work. Good. If you're 5'7", you don't like people that are 6'5". Makes you feel inferior. And I went up to him, ooh, and I grabbed him by the kneecap. Excuse me, this is absolutely true. Excuse me. He said, what? Frodo. He didn't say that. I put that bit in. He didn't say that. All time's gone. I said, I'm not religious. All I know is what you said tonight, there's war in me. What do I do? He said, do you want to pray with me now? I said, phew, praying with you? Well, get on, cool. He said, go home tonight, get by your bed, and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life. That night, One Erskine Close, Lady Bridge, Bolton, BL25HS. Well, that's ours, isn't it? Hey, don't tell them our address. I'll have women stood outside our house. No, BL15HG, sorry. Sorry. Georgine, I'm not bringing you again now, that's it. It's for a night out for us, and I got beside my bed and I said, Jesus, I don't even know if I believe in you. I don't know if you're there, but if you are, will you help me? Because I'm full of trouble. I've got everything going, I'm healthy, I've got a good job, blah, 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 but I'm full of trouble. Jesus, will you help me? Then I went to a pub. Told my mates, where have you been? I said, I've been to church. He said, you what? I've been to church. Luckily, there's a pub in Bolton called The Church. God helps you in moments of difficulty. They said, you what? You've been a... I said, I think I'm a Christian. They said, you, Smithy, a Christian? I said, I think so. So they laughed, and all night, they bought me free drinks because they thought I were having a mental breakdown. Good idea. 33 years ago. 33 years, Jesus healed a troubled teenager in Bolton called Derek Smith. 33 years, he put me back together. And on the 2nd of December, I'm going meeting my old classmates on another reunion. Four of them are dead. Two through overdose, two have committed suicide another way. Messed up. Third, fourth marriages. Why? Because Jesus said in this world you will have trouble. But if you've got me, you'll overcome this world.